Verin Solfundira Blinsa.
How you doing, Bernie?
Oi vey, oi vey!
How you doing, Bernie?
Oi vey, oi vey!
How you doing, Bernie?
Oi vey, oi vey!
And all the goyim say I'm pretty fly for a rabbi.
Welcome to CM Jew's first ever wrestling review show. Yes, that is right, CM Jew, a.k.a. Thomas from Tom Mattis, a longtime host of Tom's Prerogative, Comic Book Crazy, Hexcast, and Tokyo SOS, here with a brand new wrestling review podcast that is now live thanks to the WWE Network, or more or less because WWE Network's there, and now we have a wide range of pay-per-views we can review. Of course, joining me is one of my best friends in the world, man who is responsible for giving me space on the interwebs to record and release stuff and terrorize people, Mean Gene.
You can say this move was best for business.
That was actually a good Triple H. I'm actually impressed with myself.
Golf clap.
As the years get better, believe me, my Triple H will only improve because he'll become easier to impersonate.
But of course, Gene Ford from the Shaft Plus podcast, which is kicking on awesome gears, mostly because they spend half the show making fun of me, but, you know, I'm not like Mick Foley in ECW One Night Stand. I'm not going to take credit for everything.
No, I don't think we made fun of you last episode. We mix it up. There's a whole episode where they make fun of me, so, you know, I run the place.
Well, considering I haven't run you guys down, they must be okay with it.
Exactly.
So, yes, guys, this is a brand new podcast. Like I said, because of the WWE Network, which both me and Gene have, and it is completely awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
You have 10,000 hours and all these different pay-per-views that, you know, you can watch. And I thought would be great to basically go pay-per-view by pay-per-view and review it. So this podcast, you know, there may be some episodes where I may be by myself. But, of course, I have a wide range of friends that watch wrestling that I can bring on. So I'll probably also have a lot of guest hosts from time to time. And each episode is going to be, for the most part, watching a pay-per-view and reviewing it match by match. But since this is the first, you know, episode, and of course WWE Network just went up, and the big first, like, streaming event was NXT Arrival, which I know both me and Gene have been waiting for, we're actually going to start off talking about NXT Arrival. Yeah, it happened, and god damn did they nail it with this.
I love NXT, and I don't know if anyone's listened, you know, one of my favorite things about WWE is they do a lot of online content. One of my favorite things, and that, they replay it on Main Event. Sorry, I don't watch Main Event. I just watch the clips. I'm sorry. There are hardly matches I want to watch in their entirety on Main Event.
Nobody watches Main Event or Superstars anymore. They just watch the clips.
If there's a good match, let's just say, if there's a good match from the clips, I'll go back and watch the episode. If there's a Regal versus Bryan in there, I'll go back and watch the entire episode just to watch the entire match. But they've been doing a thing where Cole sits down with Triple H to expand the storyline. Last week they had Triple H on with JBL, which was kind of fun. Which was kind of fun because it's JBL. So come on, Magoo, we're going to Arrival, Magoo. So they promoted Arrival, which I thought was kind of fun. But JBL said something that I think is true. It's the hidden gem of WWE.
When Raw, absolutely.
When Raw and SmackDown bug me, I can watch a bad NXT, and 9 times out of 10, even a bad NXT is better than a good SmackDown.
Well, let's just say that last year, it had, if not the match of the year, the second best match of the year in all of professional wrestling with Sami Zayn versus Antonio Cesaro 2 out of 3 falls.
And that's what I'm saying. Whenever they put these indie guys in, you're going to get match of the year quality matches.
It was a Ring of Honor match in WWE. That's what it was.
Exactly. Well, then again, you can go a year before on pay-per-view and find what many felt was the match of the year. Think about it. The match of the year in many people's minds the year before was Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk at Over the Limit.
Yeah.
Which was another, if you think about it, ROH match, Bryan Danielson versus CM Punk. And it was indeed awesome. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those guys who hates Cena. I think Cena had match of the year quality matches last year. It just was not Rock versus Cena 2.
No. The match of the year, and I said this on the WrestleCast, on both the halfway year point and in the year-end review. For me, match of the year was Cena, CM Punk on Raw, February 28th.
For Cena's WrestleMania win spot at Mania.
Yeah.
For Cena's spot at Mania, which was awesome. And
it was. We both, I think, talked about lengths of how epic that match was.
That was an excellent match. And again, anyone who chants you can't wrestle at Cena, they're an uneducated crowd.
Yeah.
Like,
watch that match. The great thing about this past year, because I am a huge Cena fan, I've made the joke I'm a Cena Nazi. The answer to everything is John Cena. But, all joking aside, it's a matter of, like, you know, I point to Cena versus Bryan, Cena versus Cesaro. You know, you put Cena up against somebody who wants to actually wrestle, someone who's not there for a check. You know, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Damian Sandow.
Cash-in was actually one of my favorite matches of the year, and is another one where I sit. And by the way, that's another guy Cena will cut loose on.
Yeah.
Like, Cena-Sandow too. I mean, it wasn't a good match for Sandow, but Cena pulled out, like, tornado DDTs and crap. I'm like, what?
I know. I mean, and he's pulling out Frankensteiners. He's pulling out tornado DDTs.
Yeah, definitely not Hurricanranas. They're too stiff for that. They are Frankensteiners.
Yeah, they are. They're Frankensteiners.
Frankensteiners. Oh my god. Fuck you, MAGA.
He has that great sort of lift move where it's a lift into a net breaker.
Yep.
It's a half Nelson lift into a net breaker.
Yep.
And so, you know, he's definitely been able to add to his repertoire, and, like, yeah, that's been the best part about the past year. He is, like, as far as I'm concerned, he's silenced the critics. You can't say he can't wrestle.
I never thought he couldn't. I like his debut match, which is against Kurt Angle.
Oh, God.
I was watching wrestling at the time, and he came out and wrestled Angle. I'm like, this kid's good. I like him. And then they made him a Slim Shady ripoff. I'm like, oh, well, WWE ruins everything. And then they made Bradshaw George Bush. I'm like, oh, well, WWE ruins everything. Granted, they fixed both of those, so.
Yeah.
At least they fix what they break.
They play with their toys, and if they break them, they glue them back together.
Eventually.
Yeah, so we had NXT arrival, and let's just start off with the first match. Sami Zayn versus Cesaro, and I'll be honest, I doubted that they could pull off a match. I thought they could pull off one just as good, but I doubted they could pull off a match that was better than the 2 out of 3 falls. And I'll admit it, I was shocked. They pulled off a match that was better than their 2 out of 3 falls match.
Well, they had a good recipe for success. You just, you know, you alter the recipe enough to make it fresh and exciting, and they did.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just the storytelling in it was, oh my god. I mean, when he goes to dive through the ropes to do that running, you know, dive through the, where the corner is, dive through the rope to do that DDT, and this time Cesaro catches him with the uppercut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
And that's something I'm surprised they got through. I didn't think that would be something they'd risk in WWE, but they did, and it was good. It was one of those moments where you're like, oh my god, it's gonna be amazing. Boom, counter. I'm like, oh, it's gonna be that match.
But you know, it's one of those things where they just want to make sure guys can do the maneuvers properly so they won't get hurt. There's a lot of people that do these high flying maneuvers and they get hurt doing them.
Oh yeah.
And then they're out, and that's another reason why they created the Performance Center. And I'll say this right now, NXT Arrival is proving that the whole Performance Center is a brilliant idea and is going to pay dividends to the WWE for years to come.
Oh, easily. Easily. I just looking at all the behind the scenes stuff of the Performance Center just shows they have the best, they're going to have the best facility to make the best people, whether they're new or from indie. I mean, like, look at the guy, you know, you could take a separation and look at guys who have come up through NXT who are indie and guys who are homegrown WWE. They no prior wrestling experience.
Yeah, and they're all great. I mean, there's rumors that they there's a possibility they might sign Kevin Steen.
Yep, I heard. Yep, the rumors are that Steen might be coming up. That would be awesome, and I hope he does. I hope he gets his shot. You know, I felt bad when they let go of Chris Hero.
If he's in NXT, either they need to have him wrestle or team with Sami Zayn. Especially if they have him team, it's the reunion of the Quebec connection.
Well, I said the same thing like about Chris Hero. I wanted him to move up so he could have teamed with Cesaro instead of Jack Swagger. Because then we'd have a reunion of the Kings of Wrestling. And that would have been awesome.
Awesome.
Because we'd have got full personality Cesaro in that case. And that's what they need to do. And that's what they do. He has it. Don't worry. It's there. You just need to know where to look for it.
Yeah. But, you know, back to the match. And the match was incredible at everything in the story they told. The maneuvers that they went for. It's like, I thank you, WWE, for allowing them to do these maneuvers. And, you know, at first, I didn't get the ending. I thought it was, you know, the fact that Cesaro winning...
Mm-hmm.
I thought he had enough push on the main roster that he could take a loss to Zayn, but when they hugged it out, I got it.
Yeah.
I think this is part of a face turn for Cesaro.
I think it's a good tease. Keep in mind, remember that NXT is a parallel universe, you know, main roster stuff doesn't always apply. Triple H is pretty much a face down there, a baby face down there, because he's the authority figure that gives everybody what they want.
Yeah.
And JBL is the general manager who's evil and makes fun of Dusty Rhodes for no adequately explored reason. So so you have this begrudging respect, and I feel like this is something they're teasing around. If you sit and think about it, Sami Zayn is 100% pure babyface. I could never see him as a bad guy ever.
No.
Like, to the levels of Daniel Bryan. They're doing this to test the underdog mentality, and I love it.
I really think Sami Zayn's going to be the new Rey Mysterio. Especially with his contract being up in 3 months. And I know WWE, you know, likes Mysterio. But, you know, I think Mysterio has reached, unfortunately, the end of his career.
Who likes Mysterio? They booed the crap out of him at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but that's because he was in a 30 spot.
I know. I know why. I'm just kidding.
Don't get me started.
I don't want.
What do I fit?
I'm just kidding, but you're right. I agree with that. He could be a new guy in the vein of Rey Mysterio. His build, how they're playing him out in NXT, it makes it feel like he's going to be a really great kind of almost hybrid of Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio. And keep in mind that this match, they had him show as many sides as possible. He was brawling with Cesaro. He was doing high.
They showed his power.
Yeah, he was throwing out power bombs. He was doing reverse monkey flips. He was trying to go for his high flying offense. He did everything in that match that purely showed off his talents. Now, if this was a way to get the crowd up and running, both for the people who are new to NXT on the WWE Network and for people who have known NXT is awesome, this got everybody on the same page right away. This couldn't have been a better first match to do.
Yeah, one thing we'll probably talk about is the new NXT arena, or at least the improvements that they kind of made make the space look like it was bigger.
Yeah,
Like with the electronics there that made it kind of look like maybe there was a second balcony up there, even though there wasn't. That was the roof.
Yep.
But yeah,
some extra pyro, some extra LEDs. Look,
yeah,
really tightened the look so that it really does look more like the house show / SmackDown and Raw set.
Yeah, and it looks amazing. And again, I think that's going to benefit the guys because, again, it gives them more of an idea of what to expect because, you know, there's a difference between being on NXT and then being on Raw.
I don't know if you're listening to any of, like, any of the network conference calls. I'm actually very interested in this because I want to see how well the network is doing because I want other people to emulate it. Triple H himself has said that NXT talent that have moved up to the main roster have actually, when Triple H takes them out for the first time, they actually turn to him and say, hey, Paul, this looks like NXT, only bigger. The cameras are in the same spot. The things are in the same spot. It looks like NXT, only bigger. The other major difference is the commentary tables are down by the ring and not up in the balcony.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Raw. It's kind of like the old Raw set in a way.
Yeah. And then you have, from there, we then went to a squash match. We went to the Moonchild, CJ Parker.
Fresh off a recent heel turn.
Yeah, versus the man who doesn't get hype. He stays hype.
A hype man, Mojo Rawley.
It actually was a good match to promote Mojo Rawley. It wasn't a complete squash, but it was a squash match.
It might as well. No. The match after was a squash match. This was actually semi-competitive. It did two things. One, it cooled down the crowd after the amazingness of Zayn and Cesaro.
And it built up Mojo Rawley.
Yes. Now, keep in mind, I like Mojo Rawley. Here's one thing Mojo Rawley has ahead of anything else. The guy's connection with the crowd is amazing.
He has immense charisma. You need that to succeed in the bit. I know there's a lot of people that hate that aspect of it. It should be all about the wrestling. But you know what? This is a business to where you need to be able to connect with the people who are in the $5 cheap seats at the roof. And you need that huge charisma to do that. So he's got a ton of that. If he can just get better in the ring, which you can always do if you're willing to put the work in.
And the Performance Center is a great place to do it.
Yeah.
But again, usually it's the other way around. Look at Daniel Bryan. Guy, fantastic wrestler. It took a long time for him to connect with the crowd. You could argue CM Punk to a certain level. Took a while to connect with the crowd till the pipe bomb.
Well, he was connecting with the crowd in multiple ways before that. I mean, he had such great, the CM Punk, the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah. That was something that really worked, and then they had him leading Nexus, which didn't work. His injury is what really sidelined him that second time. He probably would have gotten to the stratosphere without the pipe bomb if he didn't get injured during the Straight Edge Society gimmick.
Yeah.
Because the guy got massively great heat off of that. I think if it wasn't for the injury, we wouldn't, it wouldn't happen. But then again, we wouldn't have all this hilarious CM Punk commentary bits on YouTube to listen to. So, it balances out. I like Mojo Rawley, but, like, look at his offense, shoulder block, shoulder block. Any wrestler that uses a splash as a finisher and they're not over 300 or 400 pounds, no. This guy really needs some wrestling skill. He needs to train with these guys a little better. But he's got the crowd. No, he's got the crowd behind him. That's still good because usually it's the other way around. They have to get the crowd after they learn how to wrestle. But again, they're gonna make it look good. Like look at Big E Langston. Yeah. When he started, he was in the same kind of boat.
Big E Langston is the best example there. I remember when Big E Langston started back when it was Florida Championship Wrestling still. Mm-hmm. And to see him grow up and see what he's become, I was like, he has really matured. He's become a good wrestler. And Mojo Rawley, I mean, I do have a problem with any wrestler who's at least one of his signature maneuvers to set up his finisher is the same move that Naomi does, a.k.a. the rear view.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what he does. He does a butt hit to set it up.
Yeah, yeah. But again, that's something that can and will be improved upon.
Yeah.
I feel like the experiment here was to test his connection with the crowd, and it worked. Because he was going around like an indie guy slapping people's hands. It was great.
Yeah.
He really kept the crowd at a good simmering level. Too bad the following match after kind of killed it. my
It did for different reasons. Let's explain. The next match was supposed to be Xavier Woods, who was introduced from Angel Grove.
No, which is no. Xavier Woods was way later in the card.
No. It was the next match.
No, the match after Mojo Rawley. It was the Ascension versus Too Cool.
No. That was
no, because Woods versus Breeze was way later. Because that's when the stream started messing up for everybody. It was the next to last. That was the Woods versus Breeze was the next to last match.
Let me look it up because I want to say that.
Because everybody, because I don't know if you saw YouTube, but it was filled with Tyler Breeze has infected my stream. Because every time like they tried to refresh their stream, it kept going back to Breeze doing the duck face.
No, but yeah, and that's what we're gonna talk about. Hold on. It does have it set up. Wow, I could have sworn. Because I remember in mind that it happened real early.
No. It was the next to last match. It feels like it was an early match, but no, it was. And I want to talk about that one too because it was good. It had interesting repercussions.
No, yeah, you know, maybe the stream cut out for me in Mojo Rawley, and that's why I think that. By the way, what we're talking about is that there were stream issues. Apparently, for some people, the stream cut and it went white. It went white for me. I just refreshed my browser and it came back. But for a lot of people, they apparently missed the let's call it what it is. It's a streaming pay-per-view for NXT.
And again, this is good stress testing by WWE. You're stress testing it on NXT. Great.
Yeah.
This will make things perfect for Mania 30.
Yes. But, you know, well, let's get to it. As you said, you were right. I was wrong. Wow, what a shock there.
Well, I have notes. I have notes.
Ascension versus Too Cool.
Sucked.
It was fun. Sucked.
Boo. I don't say this about NXT, but boo.
It was a squash match for...
there was one good thing about this match. The Ascension got a new entrance and a new theme, and it actually is much better than their old theme and entrance.
I actually like the old theme and entrance.
Sucks to be you, because I like this a lot better.
But it was a squash match, and it was cool seeing Too Cool there, because I like Scotty Too Holly.
I don't hate Scotty Too Holly. Scotty Too Holly, yeah, okay. Scotty Too Holly and Jerry Lawler. I mean Brian Christopher. I mean Grandmaster Sexay. I defy anyone to tell me he doesn't look exactly like Lawler at this point.
He does.
He looks exactly like his dad at this point. I mean, like, he looks like his dad when he was feuding with Bret Hart back in the time. I swear, he looks exactly like him.
So it was a squash match. It just kind of reminds me how bad it is that WWE couldn't get the American Wolves, a.k.a. the new TNA World Tag Team Champions.
I'm not gonna knock on TNA. They're taking people who weren't happy with NXT and turning their frowns upside down. Another example is EC3. They actually made something out of Derek Bateman. So you know, for all their screw ups, I'll give them that much.
It seems like they're getting good now, but yeah. You know, well, the thing about it wasn't that the American Wolves were upset with NXT. It was that, you know, for the most part, Davey Richards. TNA is letting him he wants to continue his career as a paramedic.
Right.
So, and TNA is letting him doing that, where WWE would have been had on the road and all about wrestling.
Right.
So that's why he went to TNA.
Unless you're Xavier Woods, who can still pursue an education and be on the main roster in NXT.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously you want to be a paramedic, you know, it's
yeah,
very
that's
difficult.
A lot more demanding than something that's more academic, sure. No, I'm just teasing.
But yeah, it was a squash match. You know, at this point I guess we're just waiting for them to bring the Ascension up. It's like our next match.
Well, here's the thing. Now, here's the thing about the Ascension. I want to like the Ascension. They took Conor O'Brien, who looked like a joke on the Double Dare NXT, and made him into something cool. I'm not totally sold on Rick Victor.
Oh, I love Rick Victor. I think he looks awesome.
I'm not completely sold on the guy. I don't know what it is. Don't worry. I think it's me. I think it's something. But the problem with NXT is they need to create some new tag teams badly. They need to take some guys they got ready to come up and make some actual tag teams out of them.
Yeah.
Because they're bringing up really fourth string or retired tag teams to be contention for them. That's not a good thing. It would be cool for Too Cool to come back out if you don't remember the fact that the current WWE tag team champions are the New Age Outlaws. Going into WrestleMania, the tag team champions are the New Age Outlaws. And it's not like the main roster tag team division is dead or anything. I'm just the NXT one is, because they've only had the Ascension in squash matches. They've had them up against Too Cool. They've had them up against Hunico and Camacho. And I don't think they've had them up against real tag teams since the Wyatt family moved up.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I'm just waiting for them to finally bring them up to the main roster.
Yeah, but the only problem is they have no one to drop the belts to.
Hey. Well, you know what? Once he's healed, I know who they could drop the belts to.
Oliver Gray and Tyson Kidd?
No. Enzo Amore and Big Cass.
Oh, that's because, you know why? You know why? Because the Ascension is S-A-W-F-T swapped. That was one. I'll tell you, there were some feuds I wanted on the card, and that was not one of them, which is Enzo and Big Cass's feud against Aiden English.
Yeah.
I wanted that badly to be one of the matches on the card, but it didn't happen.
This is proof of how good NXT is. When I first saw Enzo Amore, I'm like, who is this ripoff of DDP from 1990?
Oh, that's what everybody said.
And he grew on me, and now he's one of my favorite wrestlers on NXT.
He grew on everybody. The guy came out and nobody really liked him, and then the guy's got great mic skills.
Oh, yes, he does.
And that's the other thing. And I think both guys are going to be fun on the main roster, whether together or not, because Cassidy's a huge dude.
Yes.
Like, you need banana for scale, but the dude is like 7 foot. We haven't seen guys that big in a while.
Yes.
It's not very often you find too many guys who can be eye to eye with the Big Show.
Yep.
In this day and age, yeah. And I know you're itching to talk about the next match. I am too.
Well, you know, we're getting there. The reason I said, because I brought up the whole people we want to see on the main roster, is our next match, which is for the NXT Women's Championship, and it's Paige versus Emma. Of course, Emma's already on the roster, and then you have Paige, which is the female wrestler. Everybody is waiting for them to finally bring up to the main roster to face AJ.
Yeah. Here's the thing. How often do you ever watch Raw or SmackDown and go, oh boy, a Divas match? You don't.
Well, that would change when Paige happened, because this match was proof of how awesome a women's match can be.
You can go back and watch any women's match on NXT, really.
Yes, but this one in particular, like, this, you know, power bombs. Women doing power bombs.
Oh yeah, let's get it out of the way. Emma's Batista bomb, better than Batista. I love the chant, by the way. Because it was better than Batista's.
But they say, was that what they were chanting?
Yeah, better than Batista. I love the NXT crowd.
Yeah, I mean, the submissions in it, the way, and it started slow, but then it gained steam, and it was an awesome Diva match. And then that finish, that Scorpion cross, I have never, ever seen that maneuver.
I have, but it's not often. If you watch some old indie matches, you're going to see it more in the indies than you are in WWE. But keep in mind, like, AJ's Black Widow, it was exceedingly uncommon, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was an awesome, like, I'd never seen this move before, and it looked awesome, and
I just want to, when you bring that up, I just want to take the time to point out how awesome commentary is on NXT.
Oh, yeah, because it's William Regal.
Well, that's the thing. When Paige locked that in, Regal was marking out like a schoolgirl over it. And the fact that you have a commentator doing that throughout a match is wonderful. And again, don't just point out Regal, because Tom Phillips, probably the most improved broadcaster I have ever seen in the company, period. He went from awkward to on the ball, loving it.
Yes. I would love to see him like move up to the main roster as well. Byron Saxton also did a great job throughout the night.
I like Byron. I really do. Yeah. He was ridiculous on the Double Dare NXT. But he's been in FCW for a long time, and he's done everything down there.
Hey.
He's been on commentary. He's been a ring announcer. He's been a manager. He's wrestled. He's done backstage interviews. The guy has literally done just about everything you can do in developmental, and it feels like they found a great place for him. The guy's got a great set of pipes. I could see him replacing Chimmel or Justin Roberts or Lillian down the road.
Yeah.
I could see him announcing for Raw and SmackDown. Absolutely. Like, if Chimmel will decide to retire and Byron took over for him, it wouldn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
I just have to, like, point out how great commentary is, because it's just this perfect mix and balance of calling moves, calling spots, and doing that WWE storytelling that they love so much.
Oh, yeah.
It's a perfect blend, you know.
And Emma did a great job in it, too. And, look, I'm not that big of a fan of Emma. I don't like the... I think she's good.
The Emmalution.
Yeah, I don't like the dance. I've never liked the dance. I just never liked the dance.
The girl but can whatever. Wrestle, though.
I'll admit that. She can wrestle, and I like seeing her wrestle. It's the dance I don't like.
I got really excited when she drop-kicked Fandango out of the ring on Raw. So I'm like, oh, my God, they had a diva pull out a good move on Raw. Quick,
God
get
bless
the cameras Lord. Away.
So, yeah.
That was another, like, great emotional match. It just had everything. And again, that's the best part. Like, it had power. Just like the first match with Cesaro and Zayn, it wasn't as aggressive, but it started out very aggressive, and then it went very technical, very fast.
Which I love. I love technical wrestling.
I also like Paige's new purple tights. Purple outfit. I'm kind of a fan of the color purple, not just the book.
Oh,
and
you had to go to
Paige got a new theme too.
Yeah,
which is a lot more fitting because I hated that theme. I really did.
I liked her new theme.
I like the new theme, not the old one. Yeah.
Next match had Xavier Woods hailing from Angel Grove, California.
For 9,000.
Yes, sir. Versus the male model Tyler Breeze until Mr.
Rusev. Koreva. I like Rusev. I will tell you right now, I marked out like coal when he entered the Rumble. That was a highlight for the Royal Rumble for me, is Rusev debut. It was no Bo Dallas, I'll tell you that much. Because Rusev looked strong. It took four prominent main eventers to eliminate Alexander Rusev from the Royal Rumble. It was like CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and I forget who the fourth guy was, but it took four guys to eliminate him from the Rumble because he was just causing too much trouble.
And then he set up Kofi Kingston's annual Rumble move.
Yeah, he set up the annual Kingston spot, which wasn't like the year before, where Kofi does a spot and gets eliminated immediately.
Yeah.
And he gets eliminated by Cody Rhodes this year, which is always a plus. Because the year before, it was a disaster kick, and Cody threw him out the year before, if I'm not mistaken, so.
Yeah. I believe you're right about that.
But Woods versus Breeze, I actually wouldn't have minded that this was a match.
Yeah, that's the one criticism I have. I understand what they were doing, and I like seeing Rusev there, and I understand it was to build him. But I really wanted to see Breeze versus Xavier Woods.
That would have been a good match. I know they want to build up Rusev for the main roster, and that's fine. They want him out by Mania. And they had him come out on SmackDown to cut a promo with Lana. But... I wanted to see this match because I like seeing – I'm sick of seeing Woods in three-minute matches. And the last three Xavier Woods matches on NXT proper have been against Rusev. And he's getting squashed in them. I wanted to see a good match, and unfortunately we didn't get that.
Yeah.
And Breeze has improved too. Like, the guy's character, like, was the most annoying thing ever. And then I remembered I liked Zoolander, so I cut him flat. Though, you know, the beauty, the my problem is the beauty shot is basically kind of Trouble in Paradise.
Oh, you know, it's the spin kick.
Yeah, it's a spinning wheel kick.
Yeah, well, it is a wheel kick. It's, it doesn't have that spin, but it's like, it's running and then he spins and goes the wheel kick. Kofi's is more of a spin kick itself. It's not a wheel kick.
Yeah. But again, yeah. I mean, but the same rule applies. It's basically that kind of move. It looks better because of Breeze's attire, too. Like, the tassels on his boots actually make the move look cooler than it actually is. Probably safer, too.
Yeah.
Because, we don't want anyone getting stitches like Miz. And then again, I like I wanted it to be Morphin time.
Yeah, I think we talk about something I've hated that they've done since they moved him up. Everybody wanted him to move up because they wanted the whole geek, the whole Power Rangers, and over 9,000 to be there, and it's been there in parts.
Yeah, but he's still wearing his Power Rangers hoodie.
Yeah,
from time to time, because like there's been backstage segments where he's talking with Truth and he's wearing it.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to, pepper that in slowly. But then again, keep in mind, this is also the same WWE where the first time you ever have had Daniel Bryan and the Ryback cross paths, the second Daniel Bryan started calling him the Ryback, somebody pulled Daniel Bryan aside and said, don't do it again because he's never done it again.
Yeah.
Which made me so sad because everybody was so behind it, too. Because I like it. It sounds better, too. The Ryback. I would fear the Ryback.
I would too. But now that brings us to our last match.
The main event.
The main event for the NXT World Heavyweight Championship in a ladder match. Of course, before this, Shawn Michaels came out.
HB Shizzle.
Shizzle. And I.
Showstopper.
And, of course, crowd was calling for one more match, because everybody wants Bryan versus Michaels.
Here's the problem. I think people want anybody versus Michaels. They just want one more match with the guy. And someone who grew up watching Shawn Michaels before, like, the click nonsense and before he got injured and, you know, he made the comeback in the 2000s. You know, by watching someone who, like, grew up watching Shawn Michaels wrestle, I don't blame them.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. WrestleMania.
And, of course, he got his cheap plug-in, speaking of Mr. WrestleMania. Yeah,
his,
cause right.
Plug the Blu-ray.
Yeah. Because he's got to feed his kids.
I got to put them through college. I gotta feed them.
Nobody told me you had to do those things.
By the way, The guy's character is so enjoyable, because here's the thing, I miss half of the DX stuff when DX was just him and Triple H.
Yeah.
I got back into wrestling when DX consisted of the New Age Outlaws, Triple H, and X-Pac, and China.
Yeah. Oh, poor China.
I had to go back and look at old clips to really experience the Shawn Michaels, Triple H, original DX, not the DX Resurgence, Little People's Court bullcrap. Just like Road Dogg says, I don't like this GX. It wasn't as cool as the one that I was in. And for those who are wondering, that's a reference from Are You Serious, which I miss badly.
Oh, I miss badly. I think everybody misses that badly.
Oh, yeah. And it's also proof that Josh Matthews can actually, you know, not look like a complete doofus.
Yep. But,
because this was awesome.
Yeah, ladder match. Bo Dallas, the master of the bow levers, versus Adrian Neville, the master of the man that gravity forgot. Master of the red arrow.
And I'll tell a new Adrian Neville theme, by the way, since we're counting the number of new themes. So we might as well just ding.
Ding.
This was an awesome match. I think you couldn't help but make this an awesome match.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, there weren't that many hard spots, hard ladder spots in it, but there were just enough to make it believable.
No, it reminded me of the ladder matches of old, where you didn't get a whole lot of big ladder spots. Again, going back to Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Him versus Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental title, that never had a lot of ladder shots.
Oh, yeah.
It was beautiful. It had just enough of everything.
I mean, let's be honest. Since, you know, WrestleMania 17, when the Hardys, Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys stepped the ladder match into a new era and just, like, you know, the ladder matches have been, you know, it's been all about those hard spots, especially with Money in the Bank and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is an old-school ladder match. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it for not having hard spots. I'm just saying it was a different type of ladder match than maybe people might be used to. Because of, you know, most ladder matches these days are the ones with all the big spots in it. But yeah, it was a great match. The final big spot of the Red Falcon onto Dallas.
Red Arrow.
On the ladder. Red Arrow. I don't know why I want to call him Red Falcon.
That was a great spot. That was a great way to finish the match, too.
It was. Finally, Neville is champion, which ultimately means that sooner or later he's going to be on the main roster, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Because when you get the title, you soon get brought up.
And that means probably Bo's on the way.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Bo has improved quite considerably since having that title, so I'm not going to knock it. I mean, they really turned lemons into lemonade with Bo Dallas.
Yeah. And I think he works good as a heel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Those well, the thing is, those Rotundos, they're all great heels.
Yep. I'm just shocked that they haven't already, like, tried to, like, assimilate him into the Wyatt family.
They've done a thing where him and his brother have been a tag team. They did an FCW.
Well, I remember they were attacked, but that's my point, is that when he became Wyatt, you know, and they've had Bo Dallas has had his feuds with the Wyatts. So I'm just, you know.
Sure.
By the way, that was the one thing I wish I was kind of disappointed on that they didn't do at the last Old School Raw, was have Bray Wyatt meet IRS.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of hoping for that.
Yeah. So,
but the problem is, but Old School Raw didn't really have any old school. They had, like, slightly, like, pre-Attitude Era old school.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that I'm waiting for. But I think they're waiting for both boys to be on the roster for that to happen.
Yep. So,
I just hope the segment won't be as goofy as Dusty Rhodes' was with Cody and Goldust.
So that was NXT Arrival, and what did you think of it?
Good. Here's the thing. I'm really hoping they'll do this every 6 months, where they do a live event, especially since you got the network.
Yeah.
Have an NXT live event every 6 months. Have all the feuds kind of culminate and come to a head. You don't have to do it every month. You know, I understand that. Every 6 months, or even every, you know, once a year. But every 6 months would be fantastic balance for it. I think every match had a real good reason to be there. The only match I really did not like was the Ascension versus Too Cool. And I don't blame it because of the Ascension or Too Cool. They just don't have any tag teams. They need some tag teams down there.
Yeah.
If you're going to make tag team championships, make some tag teams.
Yeah. You know, for right now, I'm calling it the pay-per-view of the year right now. And I know it's really early in the year to say that, but it was a great, solid pay-per-view. It introduced everybody wonderfully to NXT and its concept. The matches were outstanding. I mean, we have a match of the year contender, definitely, from it. And so, overall, all the matches were pretty good,
mm-hmm.
Even the squash matches, for that matter. So, yeah, I mean, if I had a rate, a 4.5 out of 5.
I would go about there, yeah. There are some little things there. You know, the Ascension versus Too Cool wasn't that good. I didn't care for the double DQ on Woods versus Breeze. I think that just would have been a great match overall, even if it didn't have a feud attached to it. Great way to showcase another guy who's moved up from the main roster.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing that also could have made it better is if there were a couple of shoot promos in there.
Well, they don't even have to be shoot promos, just promos from some of the guys who may not have made it in a match. Like, let's say Aiden English or Enzo. Yeah.
But just some awesome promos, nonetheless, would have been good to add in there.
Yeah, I agree with that. There should have been a few more backstage promos. I mean, they set aside Alex Riley and Tenzai to be doing interviews anyway. They should have had a couple of those during the pay-per-view. I think that would have really helped things along. And you could have incorporated – the problem is they didn't incorporate every major fun talent from NXT like I was hoping they would. Like I said, they could have put it in Enzo. They could have put in Aiden. They could have put in a couple – they could have put in Sasha Banks or Bayley.
Yeah.
Because keep in mind, they did show Charlotte Flair with Ric Flair in the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I like how one of the final clips of the pay per view was Stoneface Cena clapping like it was like Citizen Kane. That was great. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but there was a woman behind Cena who looked visibly upset with the outcome of the match.
She must have been one of those Bo Leavers.
She's Bo Dallas's sister.
Oh.
That would explain it. I don't. Yeah, and again, I don't hate Bo Dallas. He looked great in this match. The guy's improved unbelievably, exponentially since last year where they were trying to push him to the main roster by having him upset Wade Barrett.
Yeah. I have to ask this question, being that she was his sister. She does realize this is all fake, right?
Yeah. I would assume so. But again, I'm glad there are people in the crowd who were sad Bo Dallas lost. Because, I mean, like, you have to realize, when he won the title, I thought they were going to riot. And that they made it work, and the crowd got behind it, and they're like, okay, we will treat him like the heel that he is now, instead of, we just want him to go away.
Yeah. Rioting is what may, as of this recording, what's going to happen this Monday night when we go to Chicago?
I have no idea.
Because I've said it before, whether CM Punk shows up or not, those fans are going to riot. By the way, speaking of rioting, that is a great way to segue into what was going to be or is our main topic for this first episode, because I didn't expect us to go a full 51 or 53 minutes on NXT.
No one expects NXT to go that long, but it does.
Because it's awesome. But let's go on to our main topic. I was actually going to have a shoot of some type to try to tie into that whole concept of the shoot promo. But, we can just cut that part out.
Yeah.
It's going to be me bitching about Frozen, which I'll save that when I actually get the movie and review it. But nonetheless,
there you go.
Let's move on to our main topic. You know what? It's one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time. ECW One Night Stand 2005. It's like, oh my god, the crowd, just everything, and anybody who had not been seen ECW before, it introduced them to what ECW was about, and you know, also that it wasn't just about blood and violence and sex and all that stuff. There were, you know, that it was about more than that. And I thought it was a great way to showcase exactly what ECW was rather than what people said it was for the most part. So let's get right into it. Of course, we have our introduction where we have Joey Styles introducing Mick Foley, a.k.a. Bang Bang Cactus Jack.
Well, no, he was Foley, but he basically had, like, the Cactus Jack stuff on when he came out.
And the theme song as well.
Yeah, they had him come out. Well, that was, yeah, that's the thing. Again, you know, it's a nod to the, you know, what he was doing in ECW, which I think is great. Having him come out to the WWE theme would have been kind of silly. Yeah. And keep in mind, they do this silliness with a couple of guys, and it is kind of funny.
Yeah. So we have that, and then we have our first match of the night. We have...
Oh, by the way, before we move on, because we are on the commentators, this is the same kind of stuff I was praising NXT for. This does it too.
Yeah, Joey, the commentary.
Joey and Foley. The only thing is that I'm taking away from this that I wish they had at least tried solo Joey Styles, just like the old days.
Yeah.
Or at least for a good chunk of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but I won't criticize it for not. Because
Foley's
awesome.
Great. Foley was good. I'm not...
By the way, my favorite line is in the last match to where there's a spot to where Tommy Dreamer takes a sign and Sandman has Devon's leg spread and he has the chair at his balls. And Dreamer hits the sign on the chair, and he goes, "He just crushed the man's balls!" And Mick Foley's like, "I know you're excited, but you can't say that! Joey, I've been told through my headset I can't say balls. I'm sorry if I offended anybody by saying the word balls."
Yeah, I like that, too.
So, and that's, we'll be talking about the commentary because there are just like a lot of good commentary just to go as we go through each match.
Oh, I agree. I just had to like take it out for 1 second and say, again, this is the same kind of like commentary I could get behind on a weekly basis.
Yeah. So our first match is one half of the Impact Players, Lance Storm with Dawn Marie versus Lionheart, Chris Jericho.
Which I like. I like that. Yep. Throwback girl is good.
Yep. Not Y2J Chris Jericho, Lionheart Chris Jericho.
Despite the fact he came out with the Y2J music.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not entirely sure if that was an edit from the original or... I think anybody who was signed with WWE came out to their music.
Yeah. Let's just say this right now. Every match, if it was any other pay-per-view, would be like... Any of these matches would be like second or at the very least second or third best match of the night, if not best match of the night.
Yeah.
But but because all of these matches are like that, there are going to be worse. I thought this was actually maybe the second worst match of the night.
Really? I love this match.
Oh, I love this match too, and it was a great kickoff. But just because of how good all the other matches were, it was the second worst.
We'll go into this, but this was actually one of my favorite matches of the night, Jericho versus Lance Storm, especially for a guy who got a real raw deal when he was in WWE in Lance Storm.
And
I didn't mention this back in the NXT review, but I'll mention it now. Lance Storm is apparently, or at least they're billing him as the guy who trained Emma.
Yeah. Well, they also, Dalton, Tyler Breeze, before he became Tyler Breeze, when they were calling him Andy Dalton, they were billing him as trained by Lance Storm as well.
Good. If this is actually true, I'm glad that the guy had a better impact of wrestling behind the scenes than on, at least in WWE.
Yeah. But also, this match was just a great showcase of the Hart family dungeon, because both these guys were trained there.
Yep, and Canadian wrestling in general.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, you know, you guys want to be proud of your hockey, that's fine, but I love your wrestlers, too.
Fuck Canada when it comes to wrestling. Hockey.
I was about to say, what did you just say?
I am not happy about the Olympic outcome.
I know you're not. I know. That's why I'm trying to turn that frown upside down.
But yeah, no, but it was a good solid match, very technical and a lot of great maneuvers. Hell, even Landstorm showed more emotion than he usually does. there's that great spot where the kick is like, he's like, Landstorm has that face like, and Joey's like, wow, Landstorm showing more emotion than he usually does. Of course, also the great part of the commentary is the at the start of the match, Joey Styles is thanking everybody. It's like, Mick Foley's like, anybody else you want to thank? And like, no, I think I'll just stop now.
Joey Styles is an underrated talent to people. And you got to appreciate the guy. He, as of right now, I believe he runs .com.
Yeah, he does. He runs a lot of the .com stuff.
Yeah, I love reading his articles on .com. I thought his cameo on JBL and Cole a couple weeks back was absolutely hilarious. The guy is very talented. It's a shame like that he was never a good fit for like normal commentary on WWE. And that's just the way the guy is. That's just at the same time I don't think the Sandman would be a good babysitter.
Yeah.
the guy has a talent. It's just not in that. It's just not going to work in that environment. And that's fine. You put Joey Styles in an ECW pay-per-view, go. This is awesome.
Yes. So, but, you know, the match was solid. And then the ending of the match was pretty good. You know, just incredible coming out and the, you know, very impactful. Because, again, I wasn't around at the beginning. I came on to ECW towards its end. I saw ECW, like, 99-2000.
Oh, is when I came on. That was right at the last second.
Yeah. So I saw it towards its end, so I wasn't there for the beginning, but I was there for the Impact players, and so yeah, it was very nostalgic to the Impact players.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was a great way to kind of kick things off, and it felt like a very good kickoff match.
Yeah, it very very much was. Then we have what I thought was the third best match of the night. Or at least, I guess it could fit into that third or fourth best match of the night. But I'm going to call it the third best match. We have the Insane Luchador, Super Crazy, versus Tajiri, along with the Sinister Minister and Mikey Shipwreck, versus Little Guido, along with Big Guido, Tony Monoluke, TJ Snow, and the Italian Stalin, the FBI, or as Joey Styles says in the commentary, Little Guido is fully Italian. Big Guido is fully Italian. JT Snow, Tommy Monoluke, the Italian Stallion, couldn't find Italy on a map.
I thought that was pretty good, too. Yeah, I have a feeling you wrote down a bunch of Joey Styles quotes, didn't you?
No, I just have them. I don't have them written down. I have them memorized.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I have watched this pay-per-view 3 times already.
Oh, my gosh.
This is how much I love this pay-per-view. But, yeah, let's put it in. The move of the night came from this match.
Oh, yeah. And I'm guessing I know exactly which one, where Super Crazy moonsaults from the balcony and takes out the entire FBI.
Yes.
That was a great spot. Here's the thing, though. The outcome of this match was, like, telegraphed. Because Super Crazy, he was the only guy who didn't come down with an entourage, so it was kind of like, gee, I wonder who's going to win this match. The one guy who doesn't have an entourage.
But at the same point in time, it was a good, solid match.
It was
and,
a great
you
cruiserweight
know,
match. I mean, really great cruiserweight match.
Yeah.
And it didn't need any of the uber extremeness of ECW. It had the wrestling extremeness of ECW, and that's all it needed, and it was perfect. It was awesome.
And it was a perfect showcase. And, of course, also being a different match. It wasn't a triple threat. It was a three-way dance, which means that it didn't end with a single pinfall.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought it was great in that standpoint. So just a great match to showcase Tajiri perfectly. It was sort of funny, you know, at the end there, Super Crazy botches. And it was a sort of slight botch to where, you know, he's supposed to counter to Jerry, but I think they forgot what he wanted to counter with, and then, like, just did a couple kicks and put him into a powerbomb. But this showcased, I think, the ECW crowd. They knew it was a botch, they knew he fucked up, and they let him know it. You fucked up!
And that's ECW in a nutshell. You screw up, they'll let you know.
If they do something you don't like, they will boo you out of the building.
Oh, yeah. They're not afraid to voice their opinions. And that's the one thing I like about ECW crowds.
Oh, God, I love that about ECW. So many people try to emulate that, but it can never be duplicated fully.
Well, again,
some have come close.
Keep in mind, this is why I like the NXT crowd. It's a perfect balance where it's not you know, it's not the ECW crowd. The saltiest the NXT crowd, and they did do this during Arrival, is you'll get a holy shit out of them every now and again.
Yeah.
And they work hard to edit those out when it's not live.
When it's not live.
Yeah, you better be careful what you say. You know, you better not say, holy shit, or we want Ziggler, or that's going to get completely edited out.
Yeah. Well, if the entire crowd is saying it, it's hard for them to do it.
Oh, well, my joke is actually a reference to this past week's episode of SmackDown.
Somebody tried to start it, and it got edited out?
No, there were when Ziggler came out to confront Dave Bautista on SmackDown, there were "We Want Ziggler" chants while he was out there, and Ziggler tweeted that they edited him out.
See, I didn't hear that because I had the TV low because I was doing Ref Down.
Well, it didn't matter because they edited it out of SmackDown. it wouldn't have heard it if the TV was up.
Obviously, Botchamatis strikes again. Let's move on to what was my pick for the worst match of the night. And by worst, I mean if this was a match on SmackDown, it would be the third best match of the night as a cruiserweight match.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, worst match of this pay-per-view. And this is actually higher up in my rankings than yours, much higher.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio Jr.
And they called him as that, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I love that they did that. Versus Psychosis, and of course Psychosis took off his mask to the crowd, which later on the match the crowd said, Put the mask on.
Yeah.
Put the mask on.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, they started off Luchador, and then when they started chanting that as if they pissed off Psychosis, he changed his wrestling style. I thought that was great storytelling.
Yeah, very good. And very good of, like, Mysterio to adapt to it, too.
Yeah.
It was a short but sweet match.
That's my issue with it, is that it was very short, and I would have liked to have seen it longer.
7 minutes.
Yeah.
Hit 1-9, West Coast pop, and that was it. Mysterio wins.
They had some big spots. I just would have liked to see more Luchador spots in it.
I agree. I agree with that, especially given how, like, we have the worst Luchador spots right now in WWE.
Well, now that they have Hunico, the new Sin Cara.
The new and improved Sin Cara. Well, hopefully he doesn't break his finger just jumping out of the ring at somebody.
No, this is Hunico. He's not Botch Cara.
I know, but I'm just making the joke.
Yeah. So, that was a good match. I've seen their matches from 94, 95. You know, in particular, the Falls Count Anywhere match. That was so their feud was good. So it was very good reminiscent of that feud.
Well, keep in mind, everything here is a love letter to
everything
what ECW was.
Oh, absolutely. Then, after the match, that's when the first of the so-called, the big storyline of this pay-per-view is that there were WWE Crusaders from Raw and SmackDown coming.
Yeah.
And in this case, the SmackDown Crusaders, led by JBL and Kurt Angle, came.
Consisting completely of Kurt Angle, JBL, and the Cabinet, Carlito, and Matt Morgan.
Yeah.
The best jobbers SmackDown could provide, except for Kurt Angle and JBL.
The only thing I like, and I'll say this also when the Raw Crusaders came, is just how hostile that crowd is.
Oh, they went nuts for it. Well, here's the thing. I like how whenever somebody from the Crusaders side grabbed a mic, they showed no quarter, too.
Yeah, that was also about it, too. I mean, particular Bischoff. I am shocked that Bischoff wasn't murdered that night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. I agree with that.
So they come up, and these are some more memories, and then the lovable Stub Muffin.
Well, to be fair, they JBL and Kurt Angle both cut a promo at that point.
Yeah,
and one of the few things I've seen from this before watching it in its entirety was the Storm Jericho match. and all of the promos.
Yeah.
Because they're all shoot promos.
Yeah.
JBL shoot promo on the ECW crowd pretty much made me change my mind on JBL.
Yeah.
And pretty much showed me they fixed his damn character by this point. And Kurt Angle was amazing on the mic too for once.
Yeah. And I bring this up because they did shoot promos, which was then followed by RVD coming to the ring and doing one hell of a shoot promo that was then interrupted by Rhino.
Well, here's the thing about Rob Van Dam that a lot of people don't know. The guy can cut promos.
Oh, yes, he can cut. And that was an awesome promo. Very reminiscent of what he used to do back in ECW.
Yep.
Exactly. And again, it really signifying, you know, hey, Fonzie, you remember what RVD 420 stood for? I just smoked your ass.
Yeah.
We got this on TV. This is awesome.
Yeah, I know. The fact this actually made the pay-per-view, like, people popped for that. Because they're like, oh my god, he could say that on a pay-per-view. But no, seriously, I kind of like the little thing, like, yeah, it's nice to not have my vocabulary consist of, you know, dude, and cool.
And whatever.
And whatever. And I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be great. The guy following him around with the whistle was kind of annoying, though. I'm sorry.
Well, that's Fonzie, you know, but he was a part of him in ECW when he was teamed.
Oh, I know. I know all about Alfonso, but I'm just saying, yeah. I don't find him that interesting. Especially RVD cutting probably one of the better promos I've ever heard him cut.
Yeah. Well, you know, Fonzo's point is to be annoying, so at least he's good.
Yeah,
at least he's
doing what he's supposed to be doing. That's why I'm not completely begrudging him. Otherwise, I'd have to completely begrudge someone like, let's say, Vicky Guerrero, whose point is to be annoying, and she understands that.
She is a cougar in charge.
Excuse me!
But Rhino comes out in there, and then the lights go out.
Well, he nails RVD with the gore. Starts beating up on his leg, so I'm assuming the leg was somewhat healed by that point. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. And then the lights go out, and no, it's not Sting. It's Sabu, the homicidal, suicidal, most extreme ECW wrestler.
It's genocidal.
Yeah, genocidal. I couldn't remember it. Botchamata strikes again. But here we have Sabu versus Rhino. And you know what? Fourth best match of the night for me.
I like
it. You know, it was really good, even though they messed up on the big spot finish of the Arabian Facebuster.
Yeah, Arabian Skull Crusher. What was it, through the table?
Right, yeah, Skull Crusher, yeah, through the table. Well, he's supposed to have the chair completely under his legs, and he wasn't able to.
Yeah.
The Arabian Skull Crusher is... He dives off the top rope, he then puts the chair under his legs, and then lands on the guy.
I don't think anyone was really going to, begrudge the guy for it.
Yeah, I'm not begrudging him, but I'm just saying it was obvious, and that's the only criticism I kind of have of the match. But for the most part, it was a very good match, very reminiscent of the later, because that was a big rivalry in the later years with Sabu versus Rhino.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you also had Van Damme doing a Van Terminator, which I thought was kind of fun.
Van Terminator and the skateboard chair.
Yep, and the skateboard chair, which I thought was great, because... You only see Van Damme pull that out on WWE when he absolutely must pull it out.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I love Joey comments after that, like, I got your X Games right here.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I mean, where was it on your card?
RVD versus, Rhino versus Sabu?
Yeah.
I would say around 3 or 4.
Yep.
It was a good match. It was really good. It was solid. Again, this is the kind of stuff where somebody says ECW is good, and I'm like, yeah, this is great wrestling.
Yeah,
you're gonna find me really, really behind the first half of this card.
Yeah, and then you had, I believe at this point, the Raw Crusaders came.
Yep, they came out. So Bischoff, Coach, Edge, Christian, Tomko, Snitsky, La Resistance, and William Regal. The best jobbers that Raw could find, minus Edge.
Yeah. By the way,
this is from somebody who likes Edge, Christian, and William Regal.
But it's also the thing like, oh, here's Edge. Glad I didn't bring my wife tonight.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting Joey Styles made the joke first. And then later on when Heyman comes out, he makes it again. I actually laughed out loud at that one because it had great subtlety. Joey Styles plays deadpan perfectly.
Oh yes, he does. Another thing I loved about them as they were walking is they get to the point where we get to the stairs, and out of nowhere there's that fan that like spits water and piss off. Like, how is this? And that really gave me the idea of like, how is this guy going to escape this building, not be murdered?
Yeah, well, here's the thing about it. You have that moment in every ECW One Night Stand pay-per-view of both of them. In 2005, it's Eric Bischoff. In 2006, it's John Cena.
Well, when you have several banners hanging that saying, if Cena wins, we fucking riot.
Well, to be fair, Money in the Bank 2011 had those same signs out.
Yeah.
I think they brought them from the Hammerstein Ballroom. I actually said that during the match. I'm like watching it. I'm like, did they bring those signs from the Hammerstein Ballroom?
They brought them all the way from New York.
Yeah. It's not that long of a trip. So the match after that is Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero.
The late Chris Benoit versus the late Eddie Guerrero. And again, anybody watching the WWE Network there who is a fan of Chris Benoit, we're like, thank you for actually showing a Chris Benoit match.
They didn't edit any of his matches out. They added like a disclaimer to the tribute show.
And oh, they did?
Yeah, they added.
Is it out now?
Allegedly, because the one thing people did was like to see if like certain things were on the network or cut. Like I forget the Owen pay-per-view where Owen Hart passed away. They put a disclaimer at the beginning of that says this is in the memory of Owen Hart who passed away during this event.
Yeah.
So they're putting up disclaimers when necessary.
Yeah.
Like they put up, they rated this TVM when they, at the beginning of it too.
Well, obviously, this had to be TVM.
Hell yeah.
But it is still a thing to be able to watch Chris. You know, I'm a huge Chris Benoit fan.
Absolutely.
And I've always hated that whole situation. Look, I'm not trying to justify what the man did, because when you kill your own family, that's a horrible thing.
Well,
but we don't know why it happened, because anybody you talk to who actually knows Chris Benoit knows that's not the type of guy he is. So nobody can explain what happened that night, and just the way he's been crucified because of it. It just pissed me off.
Yeah. Again, you don't celebrate the heinous act, but at least celebrate someone who's had success and has brought joy to people as a performer. So I have nothing against Benoit. I kind of actually like, in a way, that they've kind of X-beat a good chunk of his moves over to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, well, obviously Daniel Bryan is good at that. You know, he already did a lot of that same moveset, being that he did that Japanese strong style.
Yeah, but I mean, like the flying headbutt.
He's always been doing that, though.
Oh, I know he has, but I'm just saying I'm glad that, like, WWE's hatred hasn't extended to the point of them pulling him aside and going, hey, Brian, can you stop doing the flying headbutt and maybe you could use a different submission maneuver because, the omoplata crossface, we don't want that.
Dude, Triple H and John Cena both do the crossface.
Oh, I know. Everybody has a variant on it, including Brian, but I'm just saying... Yeah. I wouldn't, the hatred can't be that bad, because otherwise I feel like they'd have pulled aside Brian and told him to stop doing it a long time ago. But I'm just saying, I think a lot of people make that out to be more of a mountain than a molehill. I just think the tribute show is, like, the only thing they're, like, upset about.
But even the tribute show, I can forget, because they didn't know at the time.
Exactly. And they thought the best of their dude. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of. You thought the best of your guy who, unfortunately, you found out died. You know, I don't want to turn this into the whole anti-Benoit debate, but because this could be a podcast in itself. But I'm glad that the network is not trying to erase history.
Yeah, and that's all I ask, is that history is not erased.
Yeah.
That being said, Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero, My third worst match of the night, but again, saying that is on the mindset that if this was on Raw or SmackDown, this would be the best match of the night.
This would be a main event match on Raw or SmackDown, easily.
And it was a good, solid match.
It was a great match.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. And I love, like, Joey Styles, like, this is the, you know, talking about how this is the match that Heyman always wanted to get, but just couldn't get. Mm-hmm. And also how, like, they're both artists and how convenient that they're wrestling on canvas. I thought that was a great quote.
Yeah. The other thing is also they were mentioning that they were on opposite shows during the brand split too.
Yeah.
Because I forget which one. Benoit was on Raw and Guerrero was on SmackDown. So they're like, yeah. Oh, we have interpromotional action, you know, and they're playing up the WWE brand split and all that during the match. And it felt like a very good WWE match. There was something ECW about it.
Yeah. No, well, there is easy, because they had those type of matches, too. That was just solid wrestling. It's just that everybody always remembers the hardcore and the blood. And
I'm saying the style of this match felt like a WWE match.
Oh.
Like, it felt like a Raw main event match.
Yeah, well, but they did have some ECW. I mean, they had the chair.
Oh, yeah, they threw a few things in here, but it still felt like a very WWE match. And that might just be because they're so used to putting on those matches.
Yeah.
But again, Benoit taps out Guerrero with Crippler Crossface. Benoit wins. I have no problem with that. And the thing is, either guy could have won at any point, and nobody would have been too put out.
Yeah. And then we move on to our next match. A match that is not only my best of the night, but also had our...
Oh, yes. By the way, this is where things go downhill for me. That was actually the last match I gave a lot of credit to.
But also had our second shoot promo of the night.
Well, after it.
No.
What's his face?
Joey Styles.
So Gertner goes back up to the Crusaders and tries to apply for a job with Bischoff.
There's that, and there's that Bischoff rope, but that I'm talking about Joey Styles promo.
Oh, yeah, Styles.
During the match.
Shoots the hell over Awesome, yeah.
And Mick Foley's like, ladies and gentlemen, we have our second shoot promo of the evening.
Yeah. Because I'm about to say, Joey Styles makes a good point. Awesome really did screw up ECW.
Calling him a Judas and like, and everything's true, by the way.
Styles isn't wrong.
And he just like buries the guy. He's like, someone gets the guy again. He goes for that. It's Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka, which again, they had a great feud in. I remember seeing some of it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember he goes for that suicide dive early in the match. He's like, Awesome goes for a suicide dive, and it's just. Unfortunately, he didn't take his own life.
It's unfortunate he didn't succeed. Yeah, and then Mick's like, calm down. Mick Foley is the voice of reason here.
That should tell you something.
Go call Dr. Shelby for Joey Styles. But the thing is, I can't begrudge Styles. I know about the whole Mike Awesome thing, but...
Oh, but no. It was awesome. I was laughing my ass off at the commentary.
The thing is, the best part about this match for me was Joey Styles.
Yes.
Holy, it was not the wrestling.
Well, I love the wrestling. I thought the wrestling was awesome. It was an awesome match. I thought the commentary put it over the top.
I wish Tanaka faced somebody else. Let's put it that way. Mike Awesome isn't that great. He's overrated. He's another guy who's spot monkeys.
Yeah, but again, they were highlighting the feud that they had in 99.
I know, but it's still... The most entertaining thing about that match was Joey Styles.
Yes. There's the part where, you know, they have the chairs, and it's like, he hits him with chairs. It's like, he's not going... He has to go down. No, he doesn't! Hits him again. Yes, he does!
Yeah. Powerbombs Tanaka through a table. Awesome wins. And then he also does another suicide dive. I forgot.
Yeah, it was the final spot was, and I thought it was awesome. An awesome Bob threw a table over the ropes to a table on the outside, and then a suicide dive on him.
I'll give it is it did have an ECW false count anywhere style ending. So
yeah, And then we had our third shoot promo of the evening.
Yeah, out comes Heyman. And I'll tell you right now, I was not a Paul Heyman guy at this point, so... But this is one of the times where Heyman pulls a promo and it doesn't suck, so...
This was a, oh my god, I love this promo. He comes out, he thanks the crowd, and he's like, he's talking like all the people that think, and he goes to the crowd, you are the craziest bastards I have ever met, and I love each and every one of you.
Yeah, and that's why I give this this promo from Heyman credit, because it's from the heart.
Yeah.
The best promos always come from the heart, even if you're not the strongest talker or anything like that. And if Heyman was pulling a promo on SmackDown at the time, I would have probably fell asleep or turned the sound off.
Yeah.
But this is good.
And then you have the moment where it's like, after this, I thought about taking the high road. And then you hear Mick Foley going, don't take the high road, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked Foley at that point. I'm like, Paul Heyman taking the high road. Yeah, okay, sure.
And then, I've got something to say to you. And just runs down and rips Bischoff, Edge.
JBL.
JBL. And it was Kurt awesome. Angle. He doesn't rip Kurt Angle, but he just rips those three.
Oh, he really rips on Edge for some odd reason. He wasn't that popular either. Edge really didn't hit his heyday yet.
With Bischoff, he's like, yeah, this is not Paul Heyman running with his tail between his legs to a WCW show. You're in our house, bitch.
Yeah, I know, and again, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was just an awesome promo. And then, of course, he ends with, like, right there, for old time's sakes, right where that camera can see us, this ain't WCW. This ain't Monday Night Raw. This ain't Friday Night SmackDown. This ain't even WWE. This is EC-fucking-W!
Yeah.
It was awesome and brilliant.
Oh, yeah. It was great. If there was anything, like, to, and the thing is, everybody was playing it out perfectly. Yeah. Everybody, it was perfect. Even though the WWE guys didn't even have a mic at that point, they played it off so well.
Oh yeah.
Like from Bischoff scoffing to I got two words for you. Matt freaking Hardy, and then Edge spits out the beer. And then everybody in the box is like, they're all like counting their fingers. They're like, that's three words, right? Three words.
I love that Edge botched the spit take.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It looked so silly. You couldn't help, but it was like, it was great.
Yeah. But with that, let's move on to, from the way you're sounding.
Call this match of the night, I'm hanging up.
No, I just said Mike Awesome.
Oh, yeah, you said Awesome and Tanaka.
But I thought this was the second best match.
I'm hanging up. Goodbye. Nah, I'm just kidding. I won't hang up on you.
But I get the feeling it's not your favorite patch of the night, because it's not your favorite type of ECW.
No. Here's the thing. When you hear JBL bitch and complain about ECW, this is the exact match and set of wrestlers he's complaining about. More specifically, Sandman. I'm going to come out and say it. It's Sandman. It's not Tommy Dreamer, because the guy can actually wrestle. It's not the Dudleys, because I've seen them actually wrestle. It's Sandman. Sandman's only draw is the fact he mutilates his body, and he has the kendo stick, and he has the beer, and he smashes on his head, and he smokes, and all that. That's the draw of Sandman.
Well, there are certain wrestlers that are good in certain environments. Sandman was never meant to be in WWE.
No, the guy was never meant to be in anything but ECW. I couldn't see this guy in Ring of Honor. I couldn't see this guy in any indie fed, really.
Yeah, but it was a perfect fit for him. He's like that title character, and in that sense, I liked it. But the match we're talking about is the Dudley Boys versus Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman. And
this was supposed to be Tommy Dreamer's last match.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Tommy Dreamer's last match. And, of course, unfortunately, if you're watching on WWE Network, you don't really realize it. But for those of us who've actually watched the original edit of this, Sandman has one of the greatest entries in all of wrestling.
Yeah. His music is Enter Sandman by Metallica, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course, because Metallica's our Judas, and a bunch of little bitches, no one can use their music anymore, and they have to edit it out.
Unless
now.
You want to pay ridiculously evil royalty fees.
Which is insane. And again, that's why I don't blame WWE. I blame Metallica for being a bunch of little bitches.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But again, you know.
By the way, this podcast is not going to be PG-13. Sorry, Chris.
No.
I'm going to have the explicit tag.
No, I agree. I don't care. It's not my show. As long as you put an explicit tag, I don't care. But that's the thing. I don't.
I just want to give Chris a shout out.
I just don't fucking care. But yeah, yeah. Again, I like Dreamer. I like the Dudleys. I just don't like Sandman. Like every time I hear someone bitch about ECW, I'm like, you're not bitching about ECW. You're bitching about the Sandman.
Yeah, but his entrance, the original entrance, and so
I love his entrance because it comes through the crowd. It's very organic, you know.
And but again, what makes it awesome is that you have the crowd singing the song.
Yeah.
I remember in the original edit, I'm like, Joey, I don't know if you can hear it, but they're actually singing the song.
Yeah. The worst part, yeah, is they did have to kind of edit out the music and kind of.
Edit all that. And it's like, oh. And that's what makes it hard to watch. It's like, again, I cannot blame WWE on that.
This is why WWE is, like, doing their best to go back and make their own music at this point and do their best not to use any music from, like, any contemporary artists unless it's, like, a pay-per-view and they definitely have, like, rights that's limited to that pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well,
and they're very, by the way, they're also very careful about who they associate with. Like, you'll notice there's not exactly the biggest artists doing music for official pay-per-view themes anymore.
Yeah.
Because WWE's kind of figured out, yeah, let's not get into royalty wars, especially when we're going to want to play backlog content.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you going to say?
Oh, I was going to go back into the match and say, does the match started? The Blue World Order came out. Freaking no.
Blue World Order.
Meanie and Stevie Richards come out.
And Joey Styles loses his mind.
Oh, yeah. He marks out for it. I didn't like the BWO.
Well, but he was absolutely right. If there was ever a gimmick that made a dime, and the fact that they couldn't sue him because it was parody.
Yeah, they were protected by parody. I did like Joey Styles pointing that out. But again, I think the Game Chasers and Pat the NES Punk, I think their Retroware TV NWO shtick is infinitely better than BWO. That's kind of sad.
But they come out, they turn on Dreamer and Sandman, and they team up with the Dudleys, and then
they come out, they cut their promo, and then Stevie hits the Stevie kick on Dreamer,
and then comes out Kid Cash, Mr. Total Nonstop Attitude.
Yeah,
I love that from Joey Styles, and then Boss Mahoney and Axel Rotten.
And they come out and they take down the BWO.
No, and it all sets up Kid Cash's spot, which was excellent. But then the match continues.
Oh, yeah. By the way, another good Joey Styles moment, because I need to call one. Partway through the match, they nail Nova with a steel chair twice, and then Styles turns around and says, that's more painful than being Simon Dean on national TV. That was Nova's gimmick in WWE, was Simon Dean.
Oh, my God, that was?
Yeah, Nova was Simon Dean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yep, I liked the reference. So I will, again, defer.
I love that reference even more.
Yeah. And the thing is, he went on to continue to be Simon Dean until, what, 2006 or something?
Yeah.
Guy had victory over CM Punk, so whatever.
By the way, now that all makes sense to why, like, he then goes, yeah, I know I'm getting fired. It's my last night anyways.
Yep.
That now makes sense. I never knew that. Botch a match, it strikes again. But I have that. Match continues. Then the Impact players come out.
Well, it continues. They bring out the cheese graters, the trash cans, the signs. They basically blade. Everybody gets bladed. The Dudleys. Dreamer has, like, a crimson mask by this point. Sandman's, like, bleeding, too.
Well, he was bleeding before the match.
Yeah, he was bleeding before the match started because he did the trash can. He did the beer can.
Beer can. But then the Impact players come out, and there's a Sandman gets pile-drivered by Just Incredible in barbed wire.
Oh, on the barbed wire spear.
Yeah. And then they bring out Francine, who kicks Dreamer in the balls.
Yeah.
Which brings out Bula McGillicully, and we get our classic Joey Styles, Cat Fight!
Yeah,
Cat!
I feel like that was the only reason they came out, aside from the connection.
That's the only reason.
Aside from the connection to the Dreamer, I feel like it was the only reason so Styles could mark out, which is fine. And by the way, I was almost about to do an "Oh my God!" counter, but I was like, you know what, this thing will explode, so no.
Yeah, and of course that set up then later a moment with Dreamer and McGillicully, which then they ended up doing a double DDT on the Dudleys. But they went out, and then of course it all finally led to the finish. Of course, you had the balls chair shot where Joey Styles found out he couldn't say the word balls.
Yeah. Well, he could.
Well, he could.
He could say it, but Foley was like, you can't say that.
But then he said, I've been told over my headset I can't say balls.
Oh, he could. Okay. I thought he was told over the headset he could.
No, he told us that he couldn't. And then he said, I'm sorry if I offended anybody by saying the word balls.
Well, here's...
Which had to be a joke, because the whole point of that was he's been saying... They've been saying four-letter swear words all day long.
Yeah. Well, if you want to hear the word balls, I have a WAV file to send to you later.
I've got big balls!
No. It's not that.
Oh, not that one?
No, it's more of a personal humiliation more than anything.
Oh, wonderful.
But anyway, Spike Dudley comes out, not WWE Spike Dudley, the other Spike Dudley comes out, helps the Dudleys. Dudleys win.
Yeah, with a powerbomb Dreamer.
Yeah, they powerbomb Dreamer through a flaming table to win.
I love Joey Styles. We're going to get thrown in jail, aren't we?
Yeah, I like that. I thought that was kind of funny.
But yeah, then Dreamer, yeah, Sandman is able, after they pick up the win, drive the Dudleys away. It's like, I need a beer! Which, again, another great...
Sandman screaming for beer. And whenever you mention beer, glass will shatter.
Yeah. But he says, I need a beer. Dewey says, like, beer? The man needs plasma!
Yeah, I forgot about that. My God, you did memorize just about every good joke on this pay-per-view.
I have watched this way too many times, yes.
You have.
I told you it's one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. But, and of course, yes, the glass breaks, and out comes former ECW alumni, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, you knew Austin was showing up when they showed the Steve Austin Monday NyQuil promo as part of the flashback.
Yeah.
This is Monday NyQuil where the big boys come to play with each other. Or with themselves.
Yes.
I like that promo. I really do.
And so, and then, which proceeds, and that all proceeds to set up the whole interpromotional sort of fight between the WWE Crusaders and ECW, as he brings out all the you had Roadkill, you had the BWO,
basically brought out everybody who was on the card, basically. And a couple of
on the card, who was there.
Yeah.
Like Al Snow, Pitbull One, Gary Wolf, C.W. Anderson was there.
They even brought out the WWE guys who had performed on behalf of ECW, guys like Jericho, yeah. Guys like Benoit, guys like Rey Mysterio.
Mysterio, yeah. And so then they had a fight, and they're all face down, and Angle's at the front, and then whose music hits? Taz!
Yeah, survive if I let you. And it's his original ECW theme.
Oh, yes, it is, and I marked the fuck out.
I did, too. I will... And it's also a good throwback, because remember, Taz debuted against Kurt Angle at Royal
Rumble. Yeah, I was about to say. In fact, after watching this the first time, I then went and watched Royal Rumble 2000 to watch that match.
Yeah, and it was a very good match.
Oh, yes, it was. I am a hardcore Taz fan when he was a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's okay as, his best commentator work was when he was on SmackDown, but I loved him as a wrestler.
Yeah, because he's insipid on Impact.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I mark out and the battle begins and ECW wins. And then
ECW pushes back everybody. And then during the whole brawl, Eric Bischoff makes his way over to commentary, puts on a headset, and starts jaw-jacking with Joey Styles and Mick Foley.
And then, you know, after they ECW wins, Stone Cold asks...
Well, no, Stone Cold notices Bischoff isn't among them and asks Foley to bring Bischoff up.
And he does, and it's...
And he drags him by the scruff of the neck, too, like a small child. I loved it.
And mind you, they only have the WWE guys attacking. They have the Dudleys, Chris Benoit, and Rey Mysterio. And it was just all great. And you know, it's like, Bischoff, I'm going to conduct a post match.
Eric, I am going to... And he does it so monotone. I love it.
Yeah. It's like, it just, though, beautifully, Bischoff goes... Fuck ECW! Pick that motherfucker up, push him back this way, hold this for me. Of course, he gives him the mic, not his beer. He holds on to his beer.
I forgot. He's like, oh, he tells Mysterio to hold the mic. Like, yeah, Mysterio's going to make good use of that.
And then proceeds to give Bischoff a Stone Cold Stunner. And then they all have a beer bash while the Dudleys take out...
Yeah, they drag Bischoff out, throw him on a truck, and that's it.
Come back. The last scene of the pay-per-view is Sandman and Austin.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, how do you rate this pay-per-view?
Here's the thing. It is everything that if you missed ECW in the 90s, this is everything you missed. It's not a clip show. It's a wonderful... reminder of what ECW contributed to wrestling in general. Me personally, I think the first half of the card is way stronger than the second half. I have a problem that every promo is a shoot promo because they should be special. But then again, this pay-per-view is special, so you let it slide.
Yeah. Well, they had some other promo. I mean, they had the promos that set up the clip packages.
Yeah, but I'm not going to count those. They didn't contribute anything. They just set up clip packages. So you just had Al Snow talking to Head and a clip package. Yeah. It didn't affect anything. So it didn't take anything out. Now, there was excellent wrestling here. This had like the creme de la creme of ECW pure wrestling, as well as the creme de la creme of ECW's unbelievable, wacky antics. There were botches here and there. It was not perfect, but it was a very, very good pay-per-view. Now, if I were to put this on a 5 scale, I would put 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah. Well, we'll put it on a 5 scale.
And here's why. Even the matches I liked were too short. They were as short as WWE matches typically are. For pay-per-view. Yeah. Like, Psychosis versus Rey Mysterio should have been a 12-minute match at least.
No.
And I thought Benoit versus Guerrero was a little short, too.
Yeah. Well, for me, I mean, there are minor things that keep it from being perfect. Like, again, Rey Mysterio and Psychosis match length and some other things. But for everything it was a love letter to what ECW was. And I think anybody who doesn't know what ECW was all about, if they watch this, they will get exactly what ECW was about. ECW was about passion.
Yeah.
Passion of the crowd, passion of wrestling. And you get that from this pay-per-view. And it was beautiful. There's a reason it's one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time.
Yeah.
Just from start to finish, I love watching this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Fair enough. And again, I've seen more of 2006 than I have of 2005. This is the first time I watched 2005 cover to cover.
Yeah.
So, you know, minus the Jericho Lance Storm match, which a lot of people threw my way because they're like, oh, well, you need to see this match, and the shoot promos because they're infamous.
Yeah. So that is it for this first episode of CMJU Wrestling Reviews. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope I'll get another one soon. I still don't know what my schedule is. I am trying to think of maybe either getting one either every or week or maybe every other 2 weeks. I still don't know what I'm going to do yet because, again, I have a lot of stuff, college and everything. I'm either going to cover maybe, well, Actually, I know what I'm going to cover next. I'm going to cover the pay-per-view. That was the first pay-per-view I watched when I got back into wrestling, which was Road Wild 1999. Which is when Hulk Hogan came back to the yellow and red in WCW.
Wow. Ooh, wow. A WCW pay-per-view. Very, very brave man we have here.
Yeah. So, remember, there are several ways, of course, you can find the show. Of course, this show will be on the Absolution Network, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. So you can leave a comment there, or you can also leave a comment on the Absolution Network Facebook page. You can find by going to Facebook and searching for the Absolution Network. Of course, remember to check out all other 132 Productions content. Of course, that includes everything that Gene does.
Oh, everything I do. Shaft Plus, ShaftPlus.com. If you like anime, you'll love the show.
Yep.
If you like wrestling, not so much. I'll try and make myself a fixture here to bring in the wrestling.
But of course, over at Absolute Network, you also have the Otaku Momentum, or at least Backlog. And of course, my other podcast, which includes Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast, Comic Book Crazy, and Hexcast, which you can find those at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And of course, the Tokyo SOS one at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. Remember to check out the sidebar for all our friends on the sidebar. Check out all their wonderful podcasts. And so until next time, all my wrestling fans, remember, I'm the best Jew in the world! He's got a lot of chutzpah, he's really quite hip, the parents pay the mortgage.